This morning on Outdoor Radio, a trip to the Northeast Kingdom to track the elusive lynx.
I'm Sarah Zahendra.
And I'm Kent McFarland.
We're biologists with the Vermont Center for Eco Studies.
Welcome to Outdoor Radio.
We are here on a beautiful Friday in Victory Basin. It's about 50 degrees below zero.
It's about 20 degrees.
Okay,
I think it's pretty nice, actually.
It just feels really, really cold, but it's truly a beautiful day. The wind is blowing. There's snow flurries.
So we just geared up, and we're standing here with the team from Vermont Fish and Wildlife Department. We're here with Chris Bernier. Good to meet you.
Likewise.
Good to see you.
Yeah. Good to see you, too.
And Tony Smith, who's out in the field a lot.
Good to meet you.
And Kim Royer.
Great to see you again, Kim.
Who's one of the lead mammal biologists here with the state. We're going to learn a lot today, I think. I've never even seen some of these tracks before, and I know we're probably not going to see them, but I still hold that hope because it's a rare species. Tony, you were showing us a picture, life-size, of a lynx track.
The easiest thing to confuse with a lynx track is a moose track.
That's a really huge track.
It's a really big track.
We're talking about a big paw print in the snow. What is the difference between a bobcat and a lynx?
They are cousins, so they're not too dissimilar from each other in their ancestry. But the lynx is a northern species associated with the boreal forest. We're on the southern fringe of their range here in Vermont. The bobcat is more of a southern species, and we are on the northern fringe of its range. And where they differ is the lynx have huge feet that gives them flotation in deep snow.
Both animals have a fairly short tail, but a bobcat has a white tip on the tail. That's a really distinguishing characteristic.
A lynx might actually even be a little bit lighter on average than a bobcat, but they appear much larger because they are long-legged, so they're tall, and they're actually a longer body than the bobcat. The rear legs are also taller than the front legs, which gives them a stooped appearance. And that's an adaptation for life in deep, fluffy snow, trying to chase down its primary prey, the snowshoe hare.
What else might a lynx eat? Let's say it's a bad year for snowshoe hare. What are they going to eat?
They will prey switch a little bit to other small mammals, squirrels, chipmunks, mice, but they really are an obligate of snowshoe hare. If you have a sustained decline in snowshoe hare populations, you will not have lynx. When you look at the snowshoe hare range, it is exactly the same as the Canada lynx range. The key for this species is connectivity to northern populations because that's what's driving what happens here in Vermont.
One question real quick. When you say connectivity, what exactly do you mean?
A landscape that allows these animals to pass through it.
It's usually large forest blocks that might be connected by corridors of other habitats. So you almost have like a string of pearls that are connected that allow wildlife to go from one place to another.
So, Chris, if you tell us a little bit about the history of these lynx and how they came back into Vermont. I know it was like in the 60s when we last saw one, and then it was, what, 2003 or something, they appeared in Vermont again. How'd that happen?
In 2003, we had our first confirmed record of lynx here in the state. Since then, we've accumulated somewhere in the ballpark, I think, of 13 or 14 confirmed citizen sightings.
So do you feel like we're going to hold on to this population now in Vermont, now that it's come back and it's here, or we got a lot of work ahead of us probably?
We do have a lot of work ahead of us, and it all comes back to maintaining the habitat, the prey base that they require. There's a lot of competition with other species that they have to contend with. Fisher, which is a major predator of a lynx, which is
really
quite interesting.
Whoa, wait,
Fisher eat lynx?
Absolutely, yeah.
Fishers are like... Those things are like the Darth Vader of the predator world.
I don't want to demonize Fisher.
Fisher
are great.
They are an incredible animal and serve an incredible purpose here in our landscape.
One other threat to lynx that we should mention is climate change. Because we are at the southern edge of their range, as winters warm in particular and we lose the deep fluffy snow that allows the lynx to outcompete Fisher, we're potentially going to see lynx disappear from Vermont.
You know what? I have great faith that we're going to find ourselves a lynx today. I'm sure of it now. I'm absolutely
really?
Sure. Okay, maybe tracks.
All right.
Right. Maybe like a piece of hair.
Tony, give us the odds.
I would say that they're not good.
Oh, come on.
We'll certainly see predator tracks
right.
today.
All right, we're going to persevere.
We are.
Let's do it. Chris, what do you have planned for us today?
We have two goals. One is to do a track survey on our way into a camera set up. The track survey is to identify, not just look for lynx, but for all of the carnivores that are here. So coyote, bobcat, fisher, and get a good inventory of what's happening in the woods. And then the camera that we'll check out We're hoping, you know, that you'll have the same suite of species on it, and maybe a lynx as well.
So you're getting a lot of data.
And I think it's important to know that the mission of the department is the conservation of all species in the state. And lynx being a endangered species in this state, it's an animal that we're really concerned about. So we are trying to figure out what's happening with the lynx. What are the kinds of things that we can do to make sure that lynx are here for our kids and our grandkids? And then at the same time, collect all this other great data for all these other species.
All right, let's go find one.
All right.
Yeah.
When you see some tracks, just give, you know, yep. Stop and we'll jump out. Hopefully we'll be able to identify them, which will be a challenge with the new snow.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. Woohoo!
Our first stop for some tracks.
Pretty challenging to tell, but I'm all but certain that that's a coyote. Based on the size, in terms of stride and straddle, it's coyote.
Came back a mile and a half on the sledge from the road. How the heck did you pick this spot to put the camera? Why here?
This is a lynx habitat. Look at it.
Yeah, with all the spruce fir, I feel like we're in a boreal spot.
You have this kind of habitat in little pieces all across Vermont, but right here in Victory and in the Nulhegan Basin are the only places where you have big blocks of it.
How many pictures are on this camera right now?
There are 60 pictures on the camera. It's motion detected. It takes 3 quick pictures for every time something triggers the camera, so hopefully we get one good out of those 3 pictures.
You just handed him the card out of that camera, and we have a laptop in the middle of the woods in the middle of winter here. We're going to see the pictures right away.
So it is subtle. Sometimes you have to really pay attention.
Oh, yeah. There's a squirrel. You see it?
There's something there right here.
Oh, yeah. What is that?
What is that?
Fisher.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
look, he's up on the log. He's climbing up the log. No, he's going down the log.
That's awesome. A big male.
Look at that. It just jumped down.
Yeah.
The Fisher in the daylight is about as good of a photo, I think, as we can ask for on these cameras. Almost the middle of the frame, daylight.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen like that very often. Yeah.
Well, no lynx tracks, but we kind of knew that going in, right?
Yeah, no, it's why it's a... It's a rare species and why it's mysterious.
But we did see this whole setup that they've got with the camera, and we saw a picture of Fisher, and we saw tracks that are coyote tracks, yeah. All sorts of cool stuff.
We learned a lot, and it was great, guys. Thanks
yeah,
for
thank
thanks
you
for bringing
taking
us out
us
here.
Out.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
It's
yeah,
really fun to have you guys.
It's great to have you guys doing this work, and I look forward to hearing more about the results and the work you're doing. Good stuff.
I'm Sarah Zahendra.
And I'm Kent McFarland.
Thanks for listening to Outdoor Radio.
Well, trek through the snow, and this time we'll try to make it back out on the sleds without it.
Yeah.
You can find more information, photos, and video of lynx at vpr.net. Outdoor Radio is produced in collaboration with the Vermont Center for Eco Studies and is made possible by the Jack and Dorothy Byrne Foundation.